So yes, thank you everyone for joining us for today's Work 2-1-1 talk show. We are having Vikram with us from the DAO Lens. Today we are discussing about the state of DAOs, which is a pretty fun topic. But before we get into all of the intricacies of the topic and all of the really, really, really cool ideas we'll be discussing, Vikram, I'd like you to give us a quick in-depth intro about yourself, what you do at DAO Lens, and we'll take it from there.
Yeah, sure. Hey, everyone. So I am currently building DAO Lens. I've been in the space for, I believe, now almost 8 years. Initially, it was on a personal front, exploring stuff here and there. I have a product and design background. Got into crypto professionally when I joined Merkle Science as the head of product. Merkle Science does like crypto forensics, regulatory compliance, blockchain compliance. So you basically deal with a lot of criminals and you deal with intelligence wings around the world trying to trace criminals who are always very witty and they keep trying new things. I had sort of dismissed DAOs back in 2017, if I'm being very honest. 2017, 2018, the narrative that DAOs had was very different. So it was a sweet surprise for me to see what had happened to DAOs in 2020 when I joined Merkle. And from then, there was no looking back. You get into a few DAOs, you start contributing. We ended up building an indexing tool. And DAO Lens honestly just evolved on its own. There was no planned execution towards identifying a problem necessarily related to DAOs. We were exploring a bunch of ideas around Web3 in general, and DAO Lens happened. So that's that. Yeah. I hope that's good enough of an intro.
Yeah. No, that does give us a good boilerplate to start with, which is fun. All right. So now we've talked about you. So we'll be switching to talking about DAO Lens. So tell us about DAO Lens, what DAO Lens is, and what problem DAO Lens solves.
Yeah, I think I'll keep it very crisp. DAO Lens, sort of the way we see communities using us, is an aggregation platform where, if you just reflect on the journey that a contributor goes through, you have discussions happening on Discord and Discourse. You have voting happening on Snapshot. You have, if the vote passes, you have proposals that are broken down into tasks that happens on Dework. If the task is floated, somebody works on the task and they submit the task. So that submission happens over Airtable, Typeform, and then there's a review. Ultimately, the review leads to a payout. That payout happens on Gnosis Safe or an likely similar tool. And then there's reputation, wherein you award the contributor an NFT or some XP points or whatever. Now, I just mentioned a very simple, short journey. It usually gets way more complicated and you sort of jump between 7 tools in the process. If you just go and reflect on the contributors that are really working today in DAOs, nobody is contributing just to one community. And if that's the case, that means you're jumping between 14 to 20 instances of tool just for 2 to 3 communities. And we ideally wanted to just make it simple. So what DAO Lens does is it plugs in all of the data from all of the different tools, and we do it in a very modular fashion. So consider us like a switchboard where you can plug in a few models, you can plug out a few things if you don't need it. And these plugins or these modules, for example, when we talk about voting or payout, we don't really just build our own voting mechanism. We integrate with Snapshot or we integrate with Gnosis in a way where it's a deep integration, meaning you do something here, it reflects there, you do something there, it reflects here. As in, behavior change is not necessarily needed to get your community to start. But if you reflect on the other modules, such as discussions, or for that matter, courses that we have as well as a popular ask, they go about in a way where it's been built within DAO Lens, right? And the goal is that we keep on building a lot of these modules. So we have lately started working with a team that works with Gitcoin and a bunch of folks from MetaGov in this panel or in this roundtable with DAO Star, where we are trying to work on the future of grants, and that grant will hopefully come out as a module as well. We've tried exploring partner promotions, which was an ask very specifically from Polygon team, given how they are reimagining the Polygon Village ecosystem. So a bunch of these requests that keep coming in, they end up getting developed in the form of a module. And DAO Lens just is one platform that a DAO or a community would need to take care of everything. Now, with that, it's very important to highlight that a lot of these communities use us in different ways. For example, if you go in and join a community, it may look like it's a classroom. Similar community, some other community may be using the similar platform or a similar layout, except that it looks like a shop where maybe a creator is trying to sell its NFT holders from the fan base let's say, a bunch of merchandise. Some other people can make it look like just like a forum. Some people can make it look like a task board. Some people can have multiple modules open. So it takes different shapes. It honestly looks very different for different people. But that's Dowlands for you.
All right, sweet. Okay, yes. Thank you, Vikram. And this was one of the things I mentioned with Apurv yesterday when we had the conversation on Board Dev Chat Club. And I do think that that makes a lot of sense and obviously makes a lot of interactions and building a community, a DAO, so to speak, reduces the friction with all of the activities users and members should carry out. The ability to actively create a proposal, execute voting, and sort of see the results in a few clicks definitely simplifies a lot of things and just makes it a less stressful experience. And so obviously that is really, really, really fun and really cool to see. So one of the other things I would like to talk about, which is a topic that, you know, you will be familiar with, and everyone who has been in this space for a relatively long time, is the topic on how DAOs are changing, quote unquote, and I, you know, read this out or say this out in a lot of air quotes. DAOs are changing the way traditional organizations operate. So the question will be, how true is this? But before we get into that, it was also very interesting that I stumbled upon a tweet, I think today or yesterday, that said, does it have to be the case that DAOs are changing how traditional organization operates, or shouldn't it just be an addition to how organizational structures are built in general? But what are your thoughts about that? And seeing that DAO Lens is a tool that sort of simplifies organizational processes in a decentralized manner, what are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I think so there will always be different ways of wording centralized organizations or centralized systems or like traditional workspaces and DAOs. But I think we need to like first define what is what. And I'm assuming that when you say traditional workspaces, we can assume that you're talking about a company the way we know it. When you're talking about a DAO, we're talking about a decentralized group of people who are actually functioning like a DAO. With that as the pretext, if you ask me whether DAOs are really replacing traditional setups, I would say it's still too immature to be able to do that. There are tons of problems that we see DAOs have, which, like, it is very obvious that you would not be able to replace, or at least you cannot achieve the outcomes that a traditional workplace can. And when I say outcomes, I mean in terms of efficiency, I mean in terms of commitment, I mean in terms of delivery or sticking to timelines. Because we deal with like a lot of human beings, and there are coordination problems that emerge when you are dealing. That said, there is a very different way in which I personally look at this. DAOs basically enable you to work on your own terms, right? Like, let's not look at it from the perspective of a community. Let's look at it from the perspective of a contributor, you as a user, you as a person. I want to do music. I could join a DAO. I want to do maths. I could join another DAO. I want to do maths on Monday. I want to do music on Tuesdays. I want to do dance on Thursdays. I could join my respective DAOs, and I have the freedom to choose which community I work with, where I end up giving my time. And in fact, if there is a way of me to make, like, way for me to make money, I can basically even dictate the terms in terms of what are the rewards that I'm going to get. Now, does that happen today? No, because it's really insanely tough making money in a DAO. And we can talk more about it later. But assuming that baseline to be true, that it's really tough, there are still a lot of experiments being done to ensure that we can truly achieve that ideology that DAOs came with. And that ideologies work when the community really is small. As the community starts growing, problems start surfacing. And that is where the coordination problem and all the solutions and energies of some of the best of the folks in the world of Web3 are being like diverted to right now. But the point being that if you go look at what a DAO is really promising you, it makes sense for us as human beings to migrate towards working in a DAO-like setup if there is enough predictability, or if there is enough stability, or if there is enough guarantee in terms of the returns or the fact that we can make a living out of it, right? Like, and as that happens, you will see more and more contributors do it. And if more and more contributors do it, you will eventually see traditional organizations not really having a lot of options but to include DAO-like setup in their internal workforce, or else they will risk the, or they will like probably have the chance of like losing their employee base to someone else who may do it. Now, the thing is that if you just go in and look at a traditional setup, let's look at any company like Google, and you just go in and say, hey, Google, decentralize today. That's obviously not going to work. If anything can be done, you can probably try it out at a very smaller level where there is one team that's trying to operate in a decentralized fashion. And you will see that there are tons of issues that emerge when a centralized org or when a traditional org starts adopting decentralized practices. It takes a lot of gut. It takes a lot of energy from your end to like really embrace that decentralization ideology. So I would say that, yes, I see decentralized setups like taking on more and more from traditional setup. But that change is not going to happen overnight. It's going to happen over a decade. And that essentially means that for the next 5, 6, 7 years, we'll see a lot of hybrid experiments, a lot of hybrid setup, which is honestly a good thing, because I think right now a lot of folks who work in decentralized setups work with the ideology that, hey, a DAO is the best thing that could have happened in the world. That is so not true. A DAO is really faulty. It's like really buggy. There are so many issues, and we need to like get away from these idealistic thoughts of being like a pro DAO movement or whatsoever you want to call it, like a person who is pro DAO, to actually being someone who's realistic. There are so many good things that traditional setups have developed or evolved into over centuries, over years and years and years of experimentation. We should really learn from them. And I see that often being looked down upon today because there is this narrative of an insider-outsider as far as DAOs and decentralized communities go. So those are also some of the challenges which we'll have to like probably take care of before we really start the shift, or we start seeing the shift happen. But yeah, I could go on and on. I think I probably answered your question by now.
Yes, you did get to the point towards the tail end. It was interesting when you mentioned, when you started out by saying DAOs being too immature to sort of take up that responsibility. And obviously that sort of makes the proposition that it's... could technically mean that it's a matter of time before, based off of a lot of iterations, based off of a lot of, you know, advancements in technology and perhaps experimentation, before DAOs can get to that point where they take up that responsibility. And I also do think, generally speaking, even with a lot of things, and this was definitely the case when the entire blockchain ideology was brought forward as a means of completely replacing all of the traditional financial setups. And again, people quickly saw that that isn't going to be the case, not even from an absolute standpoint. You know, might not even necessarily need to be the case for a handful of technological use cases. So I think the same thing as well with DAOs. They aren't mutually exclusive with traditional organizational setups as it is right now. And yes, I do think a lot of people will agree that not everything needs to be, that DAOs aren't necessarily the way organizations should be structured as an absolute. Because if you've functioned in a DAO, if you've tried to contribute in a DAO, you can tell for sure that there are so many issues and so many problems. The flexibility is nice. The ability to contribute in a, you know, wide variety of options of skill sets and different categories, obviously, is nice, as opposed to being tied down, quote unquote, by a particular job description from a normal organization. Yes, but you know, again, in your words, too immature to sort of take up that responsibility. And I do even think when that maturity steps in, they aren't mutually exclusive, and there will always be a place for both of these two worlds to sort of coexist. So, you know, still talking about DAOs and we're moving to security for a second. What do you think are some of the potential risks that are associated with DAOs? And, you know, so running an entire DAO, what are the risks associated with them, such as governance issues, and how can these be mitigated, for example? You know, I can give one example right now that I think off the top of my head, perhaps the issue of, and maybe this is an absolute issue across the board, but we'll use this to set up the conversation. The issue of disparity in token ownership, because a lot of people will happen to have a lot more tokens than a lot more other people, which gives them higher voting rights, you could say, because the people who have lower tokens, or lesser tokens rather, do not have as much quote-unquote power, as you could say, with everyone else who might have a much higher share in the DAO structure and voting setting. So what are the potential risks associated with DAOs, such as governance, and how can these issues be mitigated?
Yeah, I think governance, I see it less of a risk. I see it more of as an inefficiency. Like when you talk about risk, there is some aspects of governance wherein, let's say, you are dealing with how's the core committee, or like if the DAO has a multi-sig, how are the group of people who have signatory authorities really deciding on what happens to the fund? How are people being compensated? That is where risks start coming in. But I could still talk about both the fronts. As far as inefficiencies go, when you look at like how exactly a DAO that has, let's say, 1,000 members and some 300, 400 people are like really supposed to be participating in decisions, but the real number that's participating is 10 or 20. You start questioning whether really 20 people are better suited to sort of signify what the collective of 1,000 people may really want to achieve. And in most of the scenarios, the answer is no. But it's also because the 1,000 people who came in, if they were to like really be put out in the world and say that, hey, you have to go out to a polling booth and cast your vote towards who you want to elect into, let's say, the way we elect politicians and so on, most of them would really not want to do it, because you want to do it at a very fixed time interval. You want to do it with the right setup. You want to get informed about it. Today, when we have polls, there are people who like are really taught. There are a lot of campaigns that happen and whatnot. If that's not happening, right, like you will always almost end up thinking that, oh, there is a lot of voter apathy, or that people are not really partnering. But it may not really be the only thing necessarily the right way to look at. What I mean by that is that you are probably dealing with some aspects of the problem, but there is a whole bigger human interest and psychology related factors that come in. How, what happens when organizations scale up that come in, which you will have to eventually think of. On the other end, if you go look at risks or inefficiencies, however we term it, as far as like token holding and decision making goes, you'll see that, yes, it's true that when a DAO is really established in the early days, it's mostly in the form of a concentrated organization, or it probably takes the route of a progressive decentralization. And it's one thing to say that, hey, in an ideal sense, DAO should have a very decentralized setup. That should be the ideal case, but we also need to be like a little patient with how that redistribution happens, right? Like if a DAO is born on day one as a decentralized setup, and what I mean by that is like you're just going and saying, hey, folks, join by purchasing tokens, and there is nobody who is a member, then it's completely fair for you to go in and say that, oh, now it looks like everyone has a say, or that there are n number of token holders without disproportionate holdings. But if a DAO is really breaking down from like a centralized setup, for example, what I mean by a centralized setup is if you go look at the ETH Denver core DAO, right? Like there is a DAO called Spork DAO that was behind ETH Denver this year. And this was the first time, because the DAO came into existence last year. 10% of the tokens are essentially held by the Opolis team. Now the Opolis team is the team that really introduced ETH Denver, or the founder of Opolis is the founder of ETH Denver as well. And the Opolis core team was very pivotal in like shaping up the previous edition of ETH Denver. So it makes sense at this point in time to have like not an absolutely decentralized setup, because you're likely to fail if you just like open the doors to random people. And this judgment often is a tricky one to make, because you can't like rely on human beings to make the right decision always. Sometimes there will be examples that say that, hey, the decision was misused or the power was misused. But in most of the scenarios, I think it becomes like an outcome of what is most practical for the DAO to do, or like what is most practical for the DAO to survive. That said, there are like a lot of factors or a lot of experiments that are being tried in terms of token redistribution, like burns of token, token vesting, taking back tokens if you're not really contributing to the DAO, to ensure that only people who are really, really, really adding value, the ones who are making decisions. In fact, the whole experiment around delegation, wherein you choose an expert to like vote on your behalf, is also indirectly related to the same thing, that you don't want somebody just having enough financial power to like be able to flip decisions. You can like strengthen people who have the right knowledge to be able to resist those decisions as well. Though there have been enough examples, specifically like venture-backed DAOs, where there are like suddenly the VC firm is having, let's say, ownership of 30% of the token, you will see them like sort of going into that spot where like decisions are being overturned last minute. And that is not ideal. Which is why more and more new ways of like raising funds are being explored. There is this idea of insider outsider that I talked about in context of the previous question, which looked like a negative thing there. But in this context where you go in and say that, hey, we don't really like these people having like insane amount of power just because they have the right amount of wealth. They're not really contributing to the growth of the community. They're just there to like take profits. It makes sense in those sense to like resist that sort of concentration of power in the hands of a few. But I think like it's still too early to say that there is a foolproof model. In fact, some of the best DAOs in the world, like Bankless and so on, they tried a bunch of experiments with Coordinate and it failed badly because somebody like ended up scamming the entire DAO. And those are just examples of like Bankless, for all I know, is one of the most decentralized setups or like one of the most decentralized community. You could literally join Bankless today and like start contributing. And if you really add value, chances are that you will be able to go up. So up in the hierarchy, that's that. So I think like even the best of the DAOs out there have this problem. But then there are good examples as well in terms of DAOs taking steps to ensure that some people from outside also have voting power, right? Like, and I don't know how many people here are aware of how Nouns as an ecosystem works, but essentially Nouns came up with the idea of Little Nouns. In fact, Little Nouns originated from Nouns, and Little Nouns also have voting rights. Like, so I think there are some 14 or 16 votes that Little Nouns can do on the votes being floated around in Nouns. And that's essentially a very high number given Nouns holders. It's a very active community, but like getting 16 votes towards your proposals on what looks like, hey, vote on one of the three proposals out here could be like a very high number to like sort of win that argument. So I think there are a lot of experiments being tried out. Yes, there are risks associated to it. And I think I am somebody who's like very sympathetic to DAOs. So I see why the DAOs end up making decisions where there is some concentration of power. That said, I think we are still like probably 2 to 3 years out from hitting that first model that is like a little proof or like a little foolproof. And that's honestly okay. Like go look at 100 startups, you will see 99 of them fail. And to us, if you go look at 100 DAOs and 99 of them fail, it looks like DAOs are too bad, but that should not be how we really look at stuff.
Yes, no, you listed a lot of good points and interesting examples as to this quote-unquote disparity, as it is called. And yes, I liked what you talked about, how, you know, a lot of people, you know, become members of DAOs, but they really don't want to take up the responsibilities of, you know, participating in governance. And that then sets people who are, you could say, a lot more enthusiastic or just a lot more wealthy to execute these decisions for the entire DAO. And yes, I do think this is currently a problem that is plaguing a lot of DAOs at this point in time. And so that gets me curious, though. So in terms of evening out the playing fields as far as who and the members that can vote to ensure that the maximum amount of fairness, quote unquote, is done for proposals, how do you think that problem should be approached? Or what generally do you think about that?
So the one way of looking at it is like, how well equipped is the community to vote on something? Where comes the idea of like, how good are you at communicating why a project is being brought in? How good are you at like providing context to why a proposal has been floated? What is the original discussion? How many people have commented on it? Can you like really see linked discussions that have happened in the past? Are you really onboarding people in a way where the designer really knows why they are in a community and how they can move the needle? The developer knows why they are in the community and how they can move the needle. and how all of it is like really fitting in together.
So the problem of education
is the first thing, and I think you need to like really have a community that is very involved and educated, and then only it's fair to expect them to like vote in the right way. The other aspect of it is like one of the most successful models so far has been like by ensuring that you are gating the community in a way that you only have like worthy people come in. Gating the community by having only worthy people come in or worthy people have the right to vote can be achieved in like multiple ways, right? Like again, we talked about nouns. You can go in and say, hey, you have to invest like $500,000 to even hold one nouns, which essentially means you're not there for just for the fun aspect of it. Like you're there pretty serious about, you have a lot of skin in the game and you're pretty serious that things should move in the right way. The other way is doing is like you have to prove that you are continuously adding value. What the model that Super Team DAO and the other folks, like there are tons of examples, to be honest, where you have to like contribute regularly to be able to get to that spot where you are even given a voting power, right? Like you have to continuously deliver. In fact, DAOlands is a part of a few communities and few committees where if we stop working on a project for like more than 2 weeks in a row, they will start questioning whether we even belong there, right? Like, so that is the second way of ensuring that the average of the people are like good. The third, I think, is like delegation is a very interesting experiment. Not everyone should be allowed to vote on everything. Like community is one thing, but then not everyone can be an expert on everything. And you should have this avenue of like letting only experts chime in their opinions. It there are like lots of ways of safeguarding how delegates do not misuse their power, or for that matter, like letting delegates decide what the community should vote on and then letting the actual vote happen only by the community. But the filtering, which is the more critical or the crucial part, happens with the help of
these selected representatives,
which we call delegates, or which we sometimes also call like electoral, like different DAOs have their own different ways of like honestly terming this thing. But those are some of the ways I think you could totally do it. And like one of the things I think we can also learn from centralized setups here, or like at least governments around the world, is like having a fixed voting schedule. There is a lot of vote fatigue, or like there's something called a snapshot deafness, wherein you just stop looking at the new incoming votes because there's one coming every day. So you just don't feel the power or the energy or the motivation to go and check stuff out. I think those are some of the things which anyone should probably work on to ensure that voting first is being done by people who are like really deserving, and then the second that it's being done in a fair way.
I do like how delegators can approach and solve this problem, because and obviously it's sort of like a two-edged sword, right? Because there is the efficiency part of it, which means these people are knowledgeable, they're skilled, they sort of have skin in the game, like you said. And there is the possibility of abuse of power to the other extreme, because then they have, you know, an insane amount of resources and they could almost quite literally do anything about that, you could say. So how do we perhaps manage accountability, right? If that is something we want to talk about, with delegators having, you know, this huge power. Again, we're working with a lot of assumption. We can assume they are good players, right? We can assume they have no bad intention to the DAO, in the DAO. But let's assume, for example, that was the plan all along, that the plan was to be a part of the delegator team to amass an insane amount of resources / token and then make a crazy proposal. How do we handle some form of accountability in DAOs?
Yeah, I can think of like two very straightforward things to be tried. I think that these are like all honestly being tried as well as we speak. But one of the ways is like telling delegates the impact, or communicating the impact that a delegate's vote had on DAO, right? Like, and what I mean by that is, for example, let's say Vikram goes and votes in favor of something, and a few months later you realize that that vote should have been like not cast, and the DAO actually ended up not benefiting by letting that motion pass through. There should be a way for me to even like learn that, right? Like how many DAOs you know in the world even bring together people to discuss the outcomes of the votes that have happened in the past. And it necessarily needs not to be in the form of like penalizing people by saying, hey, Vikram, you will be like 10 XP points will be fined from your balance of XP points because you ended up like doing something wrong. But there should be a way of communicating the fact that like there should be probably a virtual or a proxy reputation that you could play around with, which tells you that if you were to be penalized, how much you would end up getting penalized. Now, whether you make this proxy or like whether you make this virtual negative reputation publicly visible or whether it's just visible to the individual is like a very interesting social experiment. And I don't think I'm equipped to answer in it, but I have a feeling that it would work better even if just individuals know that how their decisions have really had an impact. The second is sort of like going into like milestone based routes of like using funds. And when I say that, when I say misuse of power by a delegate, it becomes an even bigger of a concern when you're dealing with treasury or when funds are like when funds come into the picture. You don't want like these delegates to vote on something where the funds are misappropriately being used. A good way of just doing it is like probably saying that, hey, it's okay that you're asking for 10 ETH to do something. We would give you only one ETH for now. Prove that you can do 10% of the work with one ETH and then come and ask for the next two and then come and ask for the next three and next five and whatsoever, right? Like you could totally play around with things on that front. That would also be a very interesting way of like ensuring that even if delegates probably end up misusing the power is stuck. The third thing that I have seen, I started with only saying two, but like I have two more thoughts now. One is, of course, like who you really promote to a delegate. It should just happen the way you see traditional setups or traditional organizations actually do things. What I mean by that is in a traditional company, it takes a lot of hard work before you earn that promotion, right? Like you have to perform on a daily basis. And then when you stop performing, you are sort of demoted. There is a risk of like you losing your job or you getting fired if you're not really delivering. And you can totally do that in a delegate setup as well. DAOs do that. Like you basically, I just told you about MetaGov and a lot of these organizations where if we stop collaborating or contributing, we lose our influence in the community, right? Like on top, there can also be this thesis of how you are really empowering delegates to not just like misuse their power. What I mean by that is like if somebody wants to misuse, they should probably be able to convince a certain number of other delegates to be able to do it, right? Like, and there are special perks and balance, like perks that can be introduced saying, hey, for that matter, if Yinka goes and says that Vikram is trying to do something bad, Yinka gets recognized as somebody who's, let's say, a cop or who's like a community Sherpa. And then that community Sherpa has its own perks. So you start rewarding people for behaving like good Samaritans, the way we behave, the way we reward good citizens, the way you go in and report to a police saying, hey, it looks like somebody shady is walking outside my house or in my neighborhood. You could totally do things like that. Again, like there's a lot that we can learn from whatever our societies today have identified as established practices. But yeah, those are some of the things that come top of my mind right now. I'm sure like there's way more that we could talk about.
Yeah, no, definitely. Those are very interesting, really interesting points to explore, especially the idea of progressively sort of releasing power to people and getting them to prove themselves worthy of said power before, or resources in this case, before getting to the point where all of the ask or whatever the initial request was has then been granted. So, you know, giving them one ETH, then proving a point and then increasing that until like the entire resource that he requested for is given to them is an ad hoc accountability fix, right? It's like, we are going to give you this 1% or 10% of the resource should get you up and running. And once we can see things actually being done, then we can obviously let go of the other resources. That I think is an interesting thought process, and I will definitely be thinking more in that line of approaching DAO accountability problem solving, you could say, quote unquote. And you know, it's quite interesting that a lot of the things we talked about sort of has been answered by one of the other question I wanted to ask, but you know, said casually, but I took points from it. I'd like you to just expand on it a bit more. That would be the balancing of the need for decentralized decision making and the need for effective governance and leadership. So I think we sort of addressed the need for decentralized decision making by one, you know, handing these responsibilities to people who are more equipped and skilled delegators, and ensuring that people who do not have the best interests of the DAO at heart do not have the most power to execute voting. But I don't think we've addressed effective governance and perhaps leadership. So let's talk about that. How do we handle effective governance and leadership, more so leadership in DAOs?
I think the most known models as of today are still the models that follow the guild route, wherein there are these effective subpods. Now, when you create a subpod, the beauty is that in a traditional setup, a team reports to the higher up. In a decentralized setup, a subpod has its own treasury. It has its own autonomy to make decisions, which means you are giving a bunch of problems to a bunch of engineers and trusting them to come with the best solutions. And it makes sense to do that, because when engineers get together in a room, when they know that there is money to be made, when there is money and when they have freedom of making decisions, everyone starts behaving more responsibly, right? And then there is a way of each of these subpods has a guild lead or a pod lead, and these pod leads roll up and they are bound by certain decisions that they do at the DAO level. And then the DAO itself is just an amalgamation of smaller subpods. And I think that's going to happen only more and more. That is the only model that seems to be working super fine for now, because you are trying to establish decentralization. Teams that are small in size are also very effective. And at the same time, you're not letting random people comment on things that they have no expertise over. Any other model, which is about bringing in a bigger decentralized pool or creating... See, now you can always go in and say that, delegation is a good thing and delegation helps make better decisions. So let's do delegations inside a subpod. You could totally do that, because if there are 25 engineers in a pod, not every engineer is supposed to know everything about all the new technologies that are coming in. And that's absolutely fine. But you could always improvise, is what I'm coming to. But it looks like the guild or the sub-team route for now is the most promising one. The thing is that anyone who's probably thinking, if somebody here in the audience is thinking, could we also go in and organize the community in this way and maybe it would work out? You are essentially dealing with an economics plus a social behavioral problem. And we should ideally just look at how human beings have grouped over the years, how traditional organizations have made decisions effectively, and where you can really bring in the idea of decentralization. Decentralization should not be done just for the sake of it. Decentralization should be done in a sensible way, where you are decentralizing to distribute benefits. You are decentralizing to distribute source of information that can lead to better outcomes. You're not decentralizing just to give a voice to everyone in the community, because not everyone in the community really needs to have an equal voice. I may join a community of fashion experts and I should probably just observe. I should not really be somebody who's going and commenting on what should be done. If you're doing it as a fan club where you want everyone in your fan to feel like they belong, for example, let's say Coldplay tomorrow goes and says, hey, my fans, you can come and define the lyrics, then it makes sense that you want everyone to feel as if they belong. But I'm pretty sure it would not make sense if you are doing something very technical. Not everyone needs to have the same voice. As much as I am a big fan of decentralizing, and I truly believe in the power that and the benefits that emerge when you go the decentralized route. So that's my take on it. Not sure if I was able to hit where you wanted me to.
Yes, no, I think you did justice to responding to that. And yes, for sure. Again, the last bit, just piggybacking on what you said, the last bit of joining a community, even from not even an enthusiastic standpoint, an interest standpoint, but not from a skill competency standpoint, that doesn't... shouldn't put you in a position to make decisions, right? At least to make decisions that has really, really significant effects, because it isn't coming from a place of knowledge, competence. And I guess, again, it boils back to how and where delegates come in. We already sort of addressed that. So yes, that does make sense. But, moving on and pivoting, taking a slightly different turn from a lot of the questions we've discussed, is what possibilities would the current wave of AI innovations bring into the world of DAOs? So let's talk about that.
Oh, that's a good one. I think DAOs, like there's a whole, like we could probably talk about what AI and DAOs could do together for hours at a stretch. But let's keep it in light of the discussions we have had so far, right? Like we talked about contributors making decisions. We talked about contributors voting on proposals that they may not really have expertise on. We talked about people being available in community on Monday and then being available in some other community on Tuesday because they don't want to like follow up or keep an eye out on everything. The very obvious use cases of AI that we definitely see is around the fact that, hey, could you really go on and tell Ginka what has he missed out when he was not in a community for, let's say, the last 2 weeks when he was on a vacation? Or for that matter, a proposal has come in, it looks very technical. Or let's say it's not technical, but you don't have enough context. You are a community member or a DAO member only from 2 months. You still want to make an informed decision, right? Like a lot of these things that we say, hey, let's fix the problem of voter apathy. Let's encourage more people to go vote. They don't really work because more people will not just vote by us saying that go out and vote. They will vote if they really feel confident in like using their tokens to cast their opinions or to like voice their opinions. That can only happen if we really educate them. And we talked about how critical it becomes to like give enough context to people. Like we talked about delegates not misusing their power, and AI could also become super useful if you just start like creating an impact score or a profile score or a dependability score, something like that for every delegate, saying how likely are they to perform in the right spirits? How likely are they to not misuse their power? Like, what is their track record, right? Like, or for that matter, somebody's trying to make money. They have written a piece of content. AI should be able to point them to the community that is more likely to be accepting of their content or is more likely to pay them massively for the same amount of content, right? Like, or let's say I have written a grant proposal and you want AI to point you to which community is more likely to accept that proposal or which community will find that proposal more welcoming given the history of everything that has happened. Like there are tons of things like that, which I think AI can immediately fix. And when I say AI, this is like the very basic ChatGPT plus GPT-3 version AI. If you go into like doing traditional data models and you start building your own data pool, unfortunately, I don't think DAOs today have enough data to be like, to train a model to do things specific to that pool. What I mean is like you could use ChatGPT, but ChatGPT has been trained on tons of data pointers that are not really specific to the DAO over the years before it was made publicly available. Today you are, and you end up giving some prompts to ChatGPT to like optimize or to improvise the answer in that definition. But let's say there are these AI tools that have built over like 10 years of collecting data. If you want to do that, you could also unlock a lot of opportunities that are related to like, how should the funds be routed? If the funds are being spent in the right way, if the treasury is really growing in a healthy way, if the DAO or the members or how they're engaging, it's really even healthy. But I think we lack those data pointers or at least the volume there. And it will still be a few years before we can like really see impact on that end, though there's no stopping or no denying that that impact is going to come. Like there will be an AI machine, probably AIs will sit together and build their own treasury and AIs will group together as a DAO as well, because why not? And on top, you will see like a lot of inputs around the health, the behavior, the early markers of a DAO, all being empowered by DAOs. But for now, I think there are a lot of low-hanging fruits that we talked about initially when I started answering this question.
Yes, those are very, very insightful points. I like the use case of that would sort of trace and go over the track record of delegators. That was something that was at the top of my mind, but it wasn't, I couldn't articulate it properly because it says, who's to say that this individual or group of individuals are competent enough to make decisions that could, you know, transform the entire DAO, make proposals and open proposals and vote for these proposals. But I suppose, you know, having an AI to go over and aggregate and run these checks sort of helps to make it less corruptible, you could say. And that, I think, is very useful. We've talked about a lot of things, and we have talked about a decent amount of things and gone over a lot of questions as to the state of DAOs and tools and everything in between. I have a question, and this is sort of, could almost be like a summary, but here's the question. What exactly is the state of DAOs? Is it chaotic? Is it silly? Is it gimmicky? Or is it promising?
State of DAOs today are chaotic. State of DAOs in the future is going to get more and more promising. I think the state between chaos and promising is going to be full of experimentation.
Yeah, 100% agree on that. What are your final thoughts, Vikram? Final thoughts, generally rounding up this conversation, and final thoughts generally, you know, solving the apparent problems, you could say.
I would just say that I am a big believer, or like I have always felt that the end state of every Web3 project should be a DAO-like structure. And for that to happen, DAOs need to like solve a lot of problems, but that's where the biggest of the opportunities also lie. Like if DAOs can prove their model, you're not only looking at replacing traditional organizations, you're looking at replacing interest groups, you're looking at replacing forums on Reddit, you're looking... Like everything could become a business. Like if I'm writing something meaningful on Twitter and you find value out of it, we could very well make it a DAO where people are paying me to write my stuff, right? Like every group, every interest group, every women interest group, charity groups, XYZ, they will all end up becoming DAOs. And that means we are like looking at the whole world, if you even talk about it in a business sense from market cap, in a very, very, very wrong way. Right? Like it's much bigger than we can even anticipate at this point in time, which essentially means that you should all be building. It is ambiguous, but I would rather always go in and like not regret not having worked on something I know that is going to be big, on something that I know is going to be big, than like I would rather fail, try and fail, instead of like regretting it. Regretting not doing anything about it.
Yes, those are, you know, that's it, quite frankly. That is the motto, to be honest. It's better to go in, take an L, and, you know, get back, you know, get better and go for it next time, as opposed to sitting back and wishing, I wish I could have taken that step. Yes. So thank you so much, Vikram. If anyone has, pardon me, I didn't mention, make this call much earlier. If anyone in the audience has a question, has a contribution, if you'd like to come up and contribute, or if you're curious about something that I, you know, wasn't able to touch on, or we did not touch on during the course of our conversation, please feel free to, you know, raise up your hand. The floor is open. We'll be more than happy to bring you up and we can address some of the other ideas you might have as far as the state of DAOs, as far as if you're curious about anything. But yes, that is about it for this conversation so far. Thank you so much, Vikram, for, you know, talking us through all of the interesting ideas about that. Also, there should be some sort of criteria to join in also, like few ethos or ideology should be followed or should be in a unanimous decision for majority. I mean, that's what I think. Monetary should be, perhaps should not be the only criteria. So this is an interesting idea. It then boils down to how exactly do we want to tackle this, right? So maybe you want to explore that idea. He's going into the making a proposition that there should be other certain criteria to joining a DAO, perhaps beyond just owning tokens, you know. So but how do we make those filters, and how then do we not make a DAO too exclusive if you have those criteria? So Vikram, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I like Shubham. So I think like whatever you are talking about, ethos or ideology alignment, it all ends up being a part of you contributing to the DAO. Like when a pool of people are evaluating whether you were valuable or not, they will be able to identify whether you align with the ideology or not, or whether you are just trying to fake it. Like if you're trying to fake the ideology, or if you really don't believe in the project and you just go in and contribute for the first 2 months, you would end up anyway not contributing, let's say, after you are giving that power or after you are accepted as a member. Which is why it's always like it's going to be very tricky to evaluate. In principle, yes, there should be other ways. There are other ways. There are interviews that are done. You have to like prove why you are valuable to the community. There are exclusive invite-only clubs where reference or referrals is the only way in which you can even join. And I think they're all trying to achieve or hit on the same problem. If a community is like really not focusing on trying to align people, let's say, based on their ideologies, they are simply saying, come do your work and go away. That's also honestly okay, as long as there is a mechanism of like kicking people out if they stop contributing. Like if somebody fakes their ideology and they join, they should be able to join. Sure, come in. You were good at faking and you convinced me. But then I'm going to know that you were faking because you're not going to constantly deliver value on it. But whatever you've written, 100% in agreement with it, I think it makes sense. It's very obvious.
Yeah, I'm just going to respond to Shibam because I think he stepped out. But yes, I do think having these criteria or a method by which these criteria can be, you know, people who aren't particularly enthusiastic and who just want to get the job done. But then it begs the question, does that need to be the case, right? Because like you mentioned towards the tail end, certain people are just a bit more, they just want to get the job done. They might not be like, oh, you know, ridiculously bullish, but they have the tools, they have the skills, and they want to get the job done. And then what then becomes the filter for that? Does that make them less worthy of being a part of the community, you know? But I guess having all of these conversations is sort of what helps demystify these ideas and can provide clarity for DAO contributors and the structural leadership of DAOs as well. All right, but anyway, thank you everyone for joining us for today's Web3 1:1 session talking about the state of DAO with Vikram, part of the DAO Lens team. This has been an insightful conversation for me, you know, seeing how the different approaches we could take solving problems for DAOs.
Thank you for having me, Inka.
All right, you're welcome. Thank you again, everyone. Please feel free to reach out to the DAO Lens team if you're building an interesting community and you'd like to figure out how you can integrate DAO Lens with what you currently have. Vikram, I'm pretty sure he'll be more than happy to support you and support your team as well. But thank you, everyone. This has been the Web3 1:1 talk show by the DAP List. My name is Inka, I'm your host. Take care. Have a good one.